Welcome, ladies and gentlemen,
Morning.
to our annual kickoff hosted by us here at the membership committee. The only thing I'm gonna mention is we do have very historical and fun-filled night planned for you, at least for the next hour and a half. Of course, I will not be your host because I think we have a lot of great hosts here at the membership committee, but for this event, I chose Larice and Pam. Is Larice here?
Oh, you're not unmuted.
Reese is here. Yes.
Okay. So thank you. And so Larice and Pam will be your hosts throughout tonight's event. Take it away, you guys.
So welcome to the CCB Membership Committee pre-convention kickoff. We're pleased that you decided to join us tonight for this fellowship occasion. I'm your co-host, Larice Reese Diamond of the ABIV chapter and special interest affiliate CCCLV.
Oh,
Pam, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pam, and I am Pam Metz, and I am the other host for tonight, and I am a member of the Greater Los Angeles chapter and I am also president of CALUA, which is Library Users of America, California Library Users of America, and members of other, and vice president of IDC, and I can, the list goes on. And I want to welcome everybody to tonight's festivities. First off, we will start with an icebreaker question and to relax everybody and get everybody in brains focused on CCB and CCB's objectives. And then we will conclude the evening with questions and history and trivia with Christy Crespin and Shauna Ray.
All right. So to begin this pre-conference event, let us start by affirming CCB's vision, mission, values, and objectives. CCB's vision is that culture, laws, programs, and attitudes throughout California includes everybody, especially persons who are blind and visually impaired. Excuse me. Our mission. As a statewide membership organization, CCB's mission is to increase the independence, security, equality, and opportunity, equality of opportunity, and quality of life for all Californians who are blind and visually impaired. Through CCB's central location in Sacramento, its 40 local chapters, and statewide special interest associates, the council provides information and referral, technical assistance, advocacy, leadership, development, publications, emergency funds, accessible technology loans, and scholarships. Our objectives: to maintain statewide and local support networks and resources for Californians who are blind and visually impaired. To encourage and support enhanced self-esteem, self-determination, and pride among all Californians who are blind or visually impaired. To promote employment, educational and training opportunities, as well as economic security for all Californians who are blind and visually impaired. To serve as the principal California organization representing the rights, needs, interests, and concerns of all Californians who are blind and visually impaired before the California legislature, and other government entities. To heighten public awareness and understanding of the potential and capabilities of all Californians who are blind and visually impaired.
Okay, now I couldn't find the unmute button. I'm sorry. Now we'll consider three of the icebreaker questions. I'm sorry, I couldn't find my mute button, but I found it. And we'll get started with those. And I've got to find them because I'm reading off my computer. I'm sorry, you guys. Raise your hands when you're ready to respond, and we'll get started.
All right. I'll read the first question, which is okay. Of a statement. So everyone, let's begin with a light question before we move on to some heavier ones. Share a fun or interesting fact about yourself that others may not know, but you are excited to share. And I'll go ahead and start us off. So something interesting about me. Well, I am a songstress. I started singing when I was 5 years old in the second pew at the Church of Christ. I was inspired by all of the beautiful voices behind me. In the Church of Christ, we sing a cappella. We don't believe in musical instruments. We're an offshoot of the church. And so harmony, just the natural harmonies of our voices, is something that means the world to me. And that's how I learned to sing. And since then, my singing career, per se, evolved into groups and nightclubs, get paid professionally, do weddings and funerals too. I just love the power of the voice. And although I play all the brass and all of the woodwinds, my voice is my favorite instrument. Who'd like to go next?
Please. Okay, the first hand we have is Livy. Livy, can you unmute, sweetie? Okay, let's come back to Livy. Give her a chance to unmute. How about Nikki? Can you unmute Nikki, please?
Yes. Okay. I've always been double jointed my whole life, and I've never broken a bone, even when I should have. And I've been twisted in all kinds of things and in all kinds of accidents, and I've never broken a bone. I've worn them out, and I've had hip surgery, but I've never broken a bone. Thank you.
Okay, Livy, can you get unmuted?
I am unmuted.
There you go, sweetie. Go ahead.
Okay. I have met two famous television stars in my lifetime. One was David Hartman, who played on the Bold Ones back in the late 60s, and David McCallum, who played Ilya Kuryakin on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in the mid to late 60s.
Nice.
And I met them at Camp Bloomfield when I was a kid.
Okay. Thank you, Libby. Next, we have Joe Green.
Well, there's a few people that know. One of my nicknames is Nut by Nature because I'm a nut. But also is because me and some of my friends, we created a rap group called Nutty Crew Family. Then we formally changed it to, because the NCF mean it. So anyway, we changed it to just the Nuts. So yeah, we have a few rap songs down together. So
All right.
Okay. Natalie.
Okay, here I am. Okay, I'll share one. Some of you all know or might know I play the guitar, but I also know a little piano as well.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to throw in one about myself. I know there's really obvious ones, like everybody knows I love cats, and so I'm going to I play the recorder. Not everybody knows that. I do play the flute, but I also, and I learned to play, the person that taught me to play the recorder was Candy Linville, whose father was one of the inventors of the Opticon. And I learned to play the recorder when I was 9. Candy was helping out with a summer program that I was involved in up in the Bay Area and taught a bunch of us how to play the recorder. And that very first day, I begged my mom. I said, you have to take me out and buy me a recorder right now because I want a better one. We were learning on these cheap plastic ones, and I said, I want a good one. So I had to get a good wooden one right away. Connie Bateman. Go ahead, Connie.
Hello, everyone. Well, I am a retired English teacher. I taught English to adult immigrants who came here from different countries. And when I retired in 2020, an opportunity came up to reach out to people from all over the world on WhatsApp, on the iPhone. So I now reach out to people from 7 different countries to help them with their English conversation skills.
Tony, that is so cool, and I would love to do that. That is really cool. Okay, Miss Regina.
Okay. Well, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I love cooking, especially making bread and doing a lot of stuff like that from scratch, and it relaxes me, actually, and it's probably not something people associate me with, but I really do love cooking.
Okay, next we have Christy.
Well, one thing that some people do just found out about me, I really like things like lizards and snakes, and I find it very therapeutic. My friend brought over a ball python when we were celebrating my granddaughter's birthday, and I found it so therapeutic just to let the snake hang out around my neck, around my waist, and just kind of, you know, curl up or straighten out or crawl or whatever. Make the S with its head. I just found it just really calming.
Okay, and that is all the hands we have at the moment, guys.
And this is, okay, I was going to give mine. This is Pam. And the one thing that a lot of people don't know, other than the fact that I love to crochet, and crochet is probably one of the most relaxing things in the world to me, is the other thing that's most relaxing to me is to read my Bible and to listen to gospel music. I love music. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and we had music around us all the time. My mother played, and I want to learn to play the violin. I may be getting too old to do it, but I want to learn to play the violin. That's it.
Thank you, Pam. You're never too old, in my opinion. You want to ask the next question? Oh, we have some more hands, I see.
No, but you're excited to share matters.
Dana?
Yourself, but no, but that you're excited to share. I love to read, and my two favorite genres of reading are suspense and fantasy, which are almost like diametrically opposed, but I love them both.
Thank you, Shada. I don't know what happened to Andrea.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I missed something there. That I guess I was. So, okay. Our next our next hand raise is Miss Stephanie Jones.
Well, hi, everyone. people may not know this because I don't share it often, but I enjoy flying. And I love it so much that I took an opportunity to fly a plane and as a pilot. And before you wonder how could she do that, it's actually virtual flight simulation. But I kind of know how to fly a plane like a commercial pilot would know. So. Yeah, that's one of my hobbies. Thank you.
Okay, and all the way from Florida, next we have Miss Cachet Wells. Go ahead, Cachet.
Hello, everybody. I think most people realize that I love the creative arts, from reading, singing, writing. Most people don't know that I also love dancing, and so I've been a dance choreographer for nearly 30 years, of which 23 of those years I was a blind person. So, yeah, that's it.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Only what inspired you to become a member of CCB.
Okay, next we have Vita.
Inspired you to become.
Hello. When I was in my 20s, I was part of a theater group, and we did a number of plays for large audiences, and I think that's something people don't really know about me. I really love the theater, and I love acting. Thanks.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I don't see any more hands.
We don't have any more hands. Thank you.
All right.
I was waiting to make sure that she was finished. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Okay, I'm here. Question is, what inspired you to become a CCB member, and what part of this community has positively impacted your life? So what inspired you to become a CCB member, comma, and what part of this community has inspired you to be, what part of this, okay, I got it.
Okay.
What part of this,
oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry,
what part of this community inspires you? I can't get the question out. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I think you got it just fine, Pam.
Yeah, I think we got that. I think we got it. Yeah.
I'm wondering if I can be so inclined to actually go first on this one. I would really like that. Can I do that, Pam?
Yes, you can.
Awesome. Thank you. So what inspired me to come to CCB and you know, what inspiration have I had since becoming a CCB member? That's like a big, heavy question. I will tell you, when I first lost my sight, I had Miss Livy and Mary Beth, you know, telling me, come to the CCB meetings. And then I had a couple other folks telling me, come to the NFB meetings, because we had a lot of people that were part of NFB back in the day here in Fresno. And I felt so pulled. I didn't want to go to either one of them. But when I got to a point in my life where my kid was going to school all the time, and I got really depressed, and I started going out in the community and volunteering at the Valley Center for the Blind. And then I met some more incredible people that were like, come to the CCB meetings. And so I did. And in 2014, I became a member of CCB. And what's so crazy is the following year, I, you know, got into leadership and was the vice president. And what that did for me is it really gave me back my confidence, as well as really, really inspired me to, you know, pursue a career and actually get a job, because I really had felt, you know, pretty hopeless, you know, no joke. But CCB has really given me my life that I have now. So thank you, CCB, and thank you, all of you.
And we are so grateful, Sarah, because you are a gift to us. Our next hand is Mr. Don Ross.
Good evening. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay. Go for it.
Well, you know, I grew up, I've always been legally blind. I'm, you know, just to give you an idea, I'm 50 years old. So, and I grew up and I went through all the VI programs, but I never really understood what it was to have a visual impairment or to be considered blind or low vision. Long story short, in 1998, my uncle paid for me to attend a California Council of the Blind Convention in LA, in Los Angeles, at the then Crown Plaza LAX. So, I went to that, and then in 2000, we formed here in the city of Bakersfield, we formed our local CCB chapter here, and this year it is 24 years old. So, and I've been a part of all of it, and it was wherein CCB, you know, I found out that it was all right to be, you know, visually impaired. I, you know, or I felt normal as a person who was legally blind. And it was where I learned that it was all right to carry a white cane. So that's how I got involved. Thanks.
Okay, we have the lovely Linda.
Hello, everybody. So what happened for me is that in the 90s, and when I was in San Diego, I became a member because there were so many things that we needed to work on as far as advocacy. And I was working at the Center for the Blind in San Diego. I taught English as a second language and life skills to people who had just immigrated to this country and had been blind in their own country or went blind when they came here. And I really wanted to advocate for those people, as well as I wanted the camaraderie and the friendship. And it was just a lot of fun. We, I don't know if you guys remember Howard Kaler. Howard and Cindy Kaler and I used to fix breakfast. We would have that companionship, and then we'd have our meeting. Well, then I went back to school when I turned 50, which was crazy. But I loved every single minute I was in that school. And so I kind of dropped CCB. And then when in 2008, after I graduated and I had actually become a transition counselor at the Center for the Blind, I was offered a job at Guide Dogs of the Desert. And so I went there, and then when I retired, I thought, what am I going to do? This is the life I was born into. This is what I am supposed to do, is to help other people on this journey, because sometimes it's a pretty rough journey. And so I live in the city of Menifee. Christy and I were friends, and I wanted to be a part of the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter. So I did that, and I'm so proud. What inspires me, I really am a person that loves human services and the humanities. What I love is being a part of my local chapter, as well as being a part of Inclusive Diversity of California, because I think that I've seen so many people suffer in this, on this journey, really terrible things, and I want to be a part of being able to help remedy that. So that's what inspires me.
Okay, Shayna.
Back in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, I was a member of the NFB, and I got disillusioned by the whole top-down nature of that organization. And so for a long time, I wasn't part of a blindness organization. And my best friend, I think it was in 2018, kept encouraging me to go to a CCB meeting. And I finally decided to check it out and see what it was like. And we're a very vocal chapter, and we have a lot of good leaders in our chapter. And I learned a lot from those people, and it's really fun to actually, get together with people and actually try and accomplish something. Thank you.
Okay, and this is Andrea, and we have a couple more hands, but I'm going to share my view on this really quick. I came to CCB kind of late to the party. I was in my 40s and was encouraged by a chapter member who has since passed away, but I think I was looking for more of a sense of community with the blind community. As I got older, I felt like I wanted to identify more with the part of me with the disabled person part of me, and to do something for my community of disabled. I went to regular public school, but I had a lot of blind friends and friends who were blind, excuse me. And I had sort of lost touch with some of those people over the years of my own personal journey. So it was a way to reconnect. I have reconnected with several of my grade school friends, which is fabulous. A lot of people in the Silicon Valley chapter, because I grew up in the North, even though I am a Southerner now. But I love CCB. I love what it's come to mean to me. I love the opportunity to attend not only state but national conventions and make friends outside of California. I just feel like I've become part of this huge, wonderful family of people, quirky, crazy, different, all kinds of personalities, just like any family is. But I've learned so much about leadership and how to work with and interact with people. I've had some wonderful mentors. That's my take on it. I'm going to call on Mr. Gina.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I have to say that I had some negative experiences with blindness organizations, a different one. And I knew of the Council of the Blind, but I didn't know anything about it, and so I was hesitant. However, I lost my job, and I ended up winning a wrongful termination suit. So that tells you it was a pretty traumatic thing for me. I had never lost a job before. And anyway, I was pretty traumatized. And Jeff Tom said, well, we need help with our mutt strut. And I started helping with the mutt strut, and it just introduced me to a whole bunch of supportive people, and all my hesitations about being involved with a blindness organization, this is like night and day from what I thought it would be. And I've been so blessed by this organization, which is why I just want more people to be able to be part of this community.
Okay, Connie Bateman.
Awesome. Audio not unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Hands now lowered.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sure. All right, so I joined CCV as a student. I went to San Francisco State University with people like Leslie Tom and Margie Donovan, definitely pioneers in these organizations, in this organization. And we had a student group, which back then was called Blind Students of California. I believe now it's called California Council of Blind Students. And we did a lot of advocacy work, such as, you know, fighting for better accommodations for testing. And then later, before I became an English teacher, I was a teacher of the visually impaired, and I had some high school students who I brought to the CCV convention. I brought them specifically to the student group and also to the exhibit hall. And then later on, when I was an adult, I went from low vision to blindness. And my local chapter, the people in my local chapter were very supportive. I was so thankful that when I went, when I lost all my remaining sight, I already had connection, a connection to the blind community. So I was relearning Braille, and they elected me to be secretary of the chapter. And I remember when I was reading the minutes, I'd say, okay, guys, I'm trying to learn Braille again, so I'm kind of slow. So you'll have to be patient with me. And they would be, oh, Connie, it's okay. You're doing just fine. And when I finished reading the minutes, they would go, yay, and they clap for me. So right now I'm involved with our local chapter, still find a very supportive ACV Capital chapter. And I've also trying to get more involved with the California Library Users of America, because I'm passionate about having reading materials. But whether they be books or magazines, I'm passionate about having them in formats that we can read, such as Braille or audio, large print, electronic formats. And I'm also trying to get more involved with California Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, because I started out as a student and now I'm an older person. So it's kind of funny how things kind of circle around here. And yeah, I hope to stay involved as long as I'm around.
Can I go next? I'm thinking.
Livy has her hand up, so shall we take Livy first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then go ahead, Livy. If you can unmute, please.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, I, like some of you, was involved with NFB, and when our chapter here died, I said, well, that's it. I'm not going to mess with anything anymore. And I was involved with our Fresno ADA FAPS, which is our bus and paratransit handy ride access committees. And Ed and Tony Ames were the chair and co-chair. And so they started the chapter here, or got involved with it. And they invited me to come, and I came once, and then after about 6 months, I didn't go because they didn't do anything. So then in 2006, I guess it is, that's when that was. So then 2009, they started up again, and this time I went and I stayed. And I've been very glad that I have, because I now, I've been active with California Diabetics in Action, as I'm a vice president. And I started out with guide dog handlers, Golden State guide dog handlers, because at the time I had a guide dog. And they helped me a lot with going through that process and everything. And it's all in my book that I wrote. And which is self-published, and I'll talk about that later, not now. But anyway, it's just been really helpful for me. It's continuing to help me with my leadership skills, and I hope to continue to do that in the future. I'm also a member of CAAVL as well, because I'm a senior. Thank you.
Okay, we have no more raised hands.
Okay, I'm going to go because this is important for me. I was not born blind. I didn't lose my sight until 2000. I lost all my sight in 2000. I lost the right eye in 1990 and the left eye in 2000. And I went to the Davidson program in 2001. I met Ken there, and I met a bunch of blind people there. And I went to Braille Institute first in Orange County, and my rehab counselor asked me to go to Davidson program. He wanted me to learn some skills, and I did. And I always wanted a guide dog. And so my goal was actually to get a guide dog, not necessarily to learn how to read Braille, but I did. But I remember Ken asked me if I wanted to go to a CCB meeting. And his wife and myself, we went to the meeting, and I found it very interesting to sit there and listen to blind people talk about advocacy and all kinds of different things like that. And it's like, really? Oh, okay. So I went home and I had a friend help me research CCB. And I said, oh, okay. And I went, I went back to the program and I looked it up, and a friend helped me look it up, and helped me research it, and found out that I really liked what CCB was about. Ended up married to Ken, who was one awesome mentor who made me promise before he passed away not to step away from CCB because he felt that I still had a lot to give to CCB. And one of my biggest things in the world, like Connie said, is California Library Uses of America. To be able to get books to people in different formats is very important to me. And to be able to, I have friends all across the country because of WhatsApp. I have friends all across California because of Zoom. Isn't that cute? But I love CCB. I truly do. And I enjoy giving of my time and energy to CCB. So that's my story, and I'm not changing it.
Well, thank you, Ken. Oh,
Pam. Love you, Pam.
Pam and Reese. Reese, we've got a couple of hands. I'll let you decide what you want to do.
Yes.
Too, Joe wanted to talk, and he's on my phone, so he'll get in the queue, but he just wanted to let you guys know.
Okay. All right. Yes, go ahead, Nicole.
When I started volunteering at the Lighthouse in San Francisco in 1998, when I finally convinced my dad to go, because my mother had died, and he didn't want to go while she was still alive because they spent all their time together. But I got him into the Lighthouse, and then I started volunteering there. And through the Lighthouse, I found that I could volunteer at the East Bay Center for the Blind and the Lighthouse. And I hung around there, and through that, I found out about California Council of the Blind. And so I joined that too. I joined everything I could join because I wanted to help my dad and also help other people. And I became a reader, and I would go help people with their mail, and I did all kinds of stuff. And then I ended up doing a class at the Lighthouse. And unfortunately, when we got a new CEO about 10 years ago, he kind of obliterated the elderly groups. And now they're coming back, which is a good thing. But there was a lot going on before that. There were field trips. There were all kinds of things. And CCB, I belong to the San Francisco chapter and also the Golden Gate chapter. But after a while, I didn't like the way that was being run, so I quit that one. But I've always been a member for about 25 years now of CCB. And I've watched everything grow, and I've contributed as much as I could. And also I volunteer for Well Connected, and that's another program, kind of like ACB Community, but we've been doing that. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary, and I started with them in 2005, and I was able to, without the help of the Lighthouse, because they were no help at all at that time, able to do a recording of the catalog, which I did for many years until my voice started giving out, and now somebody else volunteers and does it. Because we started out with only the people in my group, in my class at the Lighthouse, when the well-connected people came to see us in early 2005. And so most of the people had folks at home who could read the catalog, and they didn't have a large print, and I couldn't get help from the Lighthouse. So finally, I was able to get help through one of the guys at Well Connected. He said, well, do you have a tape recorder? And I said, yes. So he said, well, just record it and send the files over. So I did. And so we started doing that. And so everybody could have it on a flash drive, and they could use it on their talking book machines. And now I think 45% of the people who go to these programs on the phone, just like ACB Community, are blind or visually impaired. And also I have a couple of programs where I can read to people, and I always wanted to read to people in any way I could ever since I was a little kid and learned how to read. So I'm retired now, and I'm busier now than I ever was before. But I'm doing what I wanted to do, and I'm very, very content with my life. And I've met so many wonderful people in CCB and ACB, and I just, you know, everybody has been so wonderful to me, and I feel like I'm part of the family. And I want to thank you all for that, because that really means something, because I don't have much family in this country. So you guys are really my family. Thank you.
All right.
Make us cry, Nikki.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and move us along to our last icebreaker question.
Oh, Joe wanted to know if he could say just a quick thing.
No, I'm not quick, but I mean, I'm not one of my phone. Sorry. My only thing, okay, there's a reason why I'm so much like I started the leadership seminar. Well, Pam thought of the name, but my thing was I was one of the kids growing up that didn't think one person could make any change. Thought the world was against me, all kind of stuff. So growing up, even when I went to one of the CCB chapters and when down in Southern California, when paratransit was going up, or shall I say access services was going up from $150 to $4. And a lot of the members of that chapter said more about the picnic. So I started going over, I went over to the NFB chapter over in Burbank. Of course, the legislative part I didn't think was so bad back then, but the problem was they were too far the other way. I'm like, it's all business. You guys can't even hang out and have lunch. It just didn't seem right. So when I came out here, and of course, ended up being with Regina, and I ended up meeting Jeff and Karen, and I joined the chapter. It's for our Christmas holidays, but I seen so much with both. Seen, you know, I could joke around with Jeff about his sorry warriors, or I could talk to him about legislative issues. And then, so he's been like an idol to me. So has Jean. So has obviously Regina. But, and they, well, I don't know, without even knowing, they pretty much instilled that I could be a leader. And, as a result, I ended up being the one of the DKM first timers. And, so I will always push for those who don't get much attention, those who have that passion that I hear. It's like I hear that passion in a lot of you that's on the membership committee. And I've even said, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, I love your passion. That's why we're here. And I believe in being from a grassroots organization. So I generally do listen to my membership. Listen to my committee, and also Gabe and Sarah, and you guys have been so wonderful, you know, to me, because even being a part of the membership committee, I just took on it And it's been such a pleasure. But I do want to thank you, all of you, for basically changing me from that little kid that didn't think nobody could, one person could make a change to now. I think we all could change the world.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Joe.
Well said. Absolutely.
You all are so inspiring, and thank you for sharing while you're here, how you got involved in this community. Before we go on to segue into our last icebreaker question, I just wanted to share that my inspiration for joining and how this place has impacted my life in a positive way. In 2014, I won a ACB scholarship. I had decided to return to school after a nursing career. I was 47 years old, newly diagnosed with cortical blindness, and thankfully found community and was able to start living my life again in a whole new way. And so after winning the scholarship, of course, I felt guilty because, you know, they gave me money. What have I given them? So I kept looking for a way to find a way to give back. And in 2016, I joined CCB. And just listening to you all share about how you got here and why you're here, it just makes me feel like this organization must live on no matter what it takes. And I'm just pleased to be a part of the newbies that will help make sure CCB carries on. Let me move into the last icebreaker question before we break into our CCB history with Christy and Shayna. But I do want to say that when I got to CCB, I'm very grateful to Christy, Artis, and Vivian, who were the membership committee to me when I joined CCB. And also a shout out to Bernice Kandarian, who really got me involved with the special interest affiliate CCC, LVI, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. Just her passion for CCB and CCCLV are why I'm here today. So our third icebreaker question, it still involves our commitment to CCB and what we're interested as a committee in having you reflect on. In what ways do you envision contributing your skills and expertise to serve the mission and goals of CCB? And I'll go ahead and start us off since I don't see any hands at the moment and let you think about that before you answer. So, like I said, I started school at 47. I went to community college. I did communication and sociology. And then I decided to go ahead and transfer to San Diego State University and go ahead and really get that bachelor's degree in communication and keep on my sociology journey. And one thing about communication to me is that is like the tie that binds us all. I would even go as far to say it's the foundation of human evolution. After I got my bachelor in communication, I went on to rhetoric and writing studies because communication, the field was mostly about theory and I'm about applying theory. I'm someone who is very much invested in taking the theoretical and using it in practical ways. And
my focus on practicality and applying that theory into real world applications is something that I offer to the CCB in the future. That and my listening ears, because listening is a key to effective communication. And one of the things I have had the opportunity to do since I joined in 2016 is to listen and understand what's going on here. Who are the voices that speak? Who are the voices who I don't really hear? And just kind of get a feel for the culture on a really deep and meaningful level. As now I'm in my doctoral program, wrapping up a PhD in cultural studies, the listening part of really immersing myself into a culture is so key to being effective as a member, as a leader, as a person trying to find their place in a huge organization like CCB. And so that being said, my ears are always listening for ways that I can contribute to serving CCB. How about you?
Mm-hmm. I'll go next.
Hold on just 1 second.
California Council, Linda S., computer.
Okay, Linda, you go first. You had your hand up first.
Okay, well, like I said, I've been in the blindness field ever since I was like 1 year old. So I've met a lot of people that are traveling on this journey. And like I said, I worked at the Center for the Blind with all different backgrounds and all different cultures. And I'm an ally with people or of people of color and all different backgrounds and cultures. So I want to advocate and work with people of all different backgrounds. I am an okay writer. I'm not great, but I can write stuff up. I've written a couple of articles for the Blind Californian. And I'm a Spanish speaker. Spanish is my second language, but I'm pretty fluent in it. And so those are the things that are off the top of my head that I can give back to CCB. Don't have money, but those are some of the skill sets that I have.
This is Andrea, and I can give back in several ways, I think, because CCB has given me so much. I am a good writer. I think I'm a good communicator. I love editing and formatting and doing that kind of work. And I did do a lot of that this week, working on the program for pre-convention that you guys are seeing. That was one of my jobs. And I love collaborating with folks. I really enjoy the committees that I work on, the people that I collaborate with on those committees. That my co-chairs are wonderful. I like Zoom hosting, so that's something, you know, that I'm able to do to help out. I've learned a whole new arena of communicating with people through Zoom. And I think I've learned a lot more about Zoom than I would have known if I just, and now I have a job that depends on me using Zoom every day. So my knowledge of Zoom from before, is really super helpful because, I'm using, in my work as an assistive technology instructor with Valley Center for the Blind, I use Zoom all the time. So, and like Linda, I have met all kinds of people in my life, both through my parents, through school, through different organizations I've been a member of. There's lots of different people out in our blind community family. And we've all had different backgrounds, different experiences, different things, different influences we've been exposed to. So I think I'm hoping, I'm also concerned about some of the things that are happening, not only in our state organization, but at the national level at this point. I think it's mirroring some of what's going on in our society, and that worries me because I think we need to be strong, and we need to, if we can't be together on, you know, some simple things, how are we going to really work together to advocate for all of us? And I want to continue to be a part of that. I'm going to ask Connie to go next because her hand is up.
I was actually next.
Yeah, Pam.
Okay, yeah, Pam, go ahead.
Pam is next.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Yeah. One of the things that I spent 20, 30 years working in the medical field, and one of the things that I, in nursing and in the medical field, and one of the things that I love to contribute to CCB is my skills and knowledge of nursing, but not only nursing, what it, how do I put it? How to be a strong advocate for yourself, how to work as an advocate for yourself when it comes to your medical and anything medical that you need and are need and have to have. And I think that's one of my ways to contribute and help CCB and especially CCB women. I'm not excluding the men, but my goal is the women, is to help the CCB women understand that they can be strong advocates where their medical insurance, medical stuff is concerned, and to also work on the domestic violence end of things. I spent 15 years dealing with domestic violence of my own with my first husband. So, working on the domestic violence end of it. So I feel I can contribute in that way, but also my love of books, my knowledge of books and people. And I love people sometimes. And I love listening to people because people have the most interesting thoughts and conversations. And, but listening, like Laura said, we said listening is very important. So I think I can contribute and continue to contribute to CCB that way, as well as serving on the board of directors and working on the committees and in the other affiliates that I belong to. Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, IDC is very, very important to me as an African-American in CCB. IDC is very important to me. And Kahlua, I'm done.
Okay, Pam, I apologize. I was looking at the raised hands and I didn't. Okay, now I'm going to call on Connie because she has her hand up.
So since I have dealt directly with sight loss, I think that I can be a mentor and an encouragement and support to someone who is going through that experience and point them to resources.
Robert DeFosta has joined the meeting.
I went from being a teacher of the visually impaired to actually being a student at the Orientation Center for the Blind because I had lost all my sight by then. And at the end, when the living skills teacher went through the catalogs and told me about all these different things that I could order, I said, hey, I used to order these things for my students. And she said, well, okay, now it's time to help yourself. So that's one area. The other area is I really enjoy writing. I've written a couple of articles for the Blind Californian, and I wrote an article about using audio description services on cruises for the ACB Braille Forum. And so I think I can continue to contribute articles to the Blind Californian. Also, now that I'm an older adult, when my husband became terminally ill, I had to learn how to not only deal with the healthcare system and how the healthcare system responds to older adults, but I also had to ramp up my technology skills and really learn how to use that iPhone to, you know, schedule rides for us to his doctor appointments using Uber and Lyft and paratransit, and also how to order food with Instacart and DoorDash so that we could get food delivered, you know, and I'm still using those services to this that day. So I can help people with tech, you know, that kind of technology, and that's about it. Thanks.
Okay, next we have, just a moment. Stephanie.
Okay. First and foremost, I want to just publicly thank Pam for what she has given me as an African-American woman in CCB. When I joined back in 2020, I didn't know Pam. And over the course of time, I got to know Pam. And she was on the board. I was nominated from the floor and had an opportunity to serve on the board of CCB. And, you know, I talked a lot to Pam offline and got to know her. And, I just want to publicly thank you, Pam, and let the world know, as it were, that, she's awesome. She can be a little prickly sometimes, but we still love you. and that's okay, because sometimes I need prickly. But the way I think I can serve is to try to hopefully, you know, as Larice said, be a listening ear, hopefully be a person that people feel comfortable confiding in, because there may be times when people need to have offline conversations around their concerns or their issues. And that's not limited to people of color or anything. It's just anybody who's trying to navigate their way through our organization. And so, I hope to be able to provide that listening ear. And I'd like to think that over these many years, I've gained some wisdom and now know how to apply it. And a lot of that, again, I attribute to Pam because of our simple offline conversations, and really appreciate that. So glad she's on membership committee, glad she's here, glad she's back on the board. And, I'm glad to serve in any way I can for CCB. Thank you.
Livy, go ahead, please.
Okie doke. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
There we go. Well, as like Connie, I'm a writer, or have written in the past. I wrote a book about my experiences getting my guide dog and all the struggles I went and my faith journey dealing with that. And I'm like Stephanie, I'm a good listener. I love publicity. I love telling people about things that are important to me. And I'm always, if I meet a blind person as I'm out and about or whatever, I always ask them, do they know about our CCB chapter here? And tell them when we meet and, you know, give them information or give them my phone number, whatever, that they can contact me and I can tell them more about how to come to our meetings and stuff like that. And also with our California Diabetics in Action, I'm very passionate about that. And I'm also passionate about what's going on with ACBDA because we've had some changes, and I'd like to get more involved with Larry and that group as well. But I've been an advocate for our blind and visually impaired community, not only here but in Bakersfield, since 1984. So I've got a lot of wisdom and background, and I just want to give back to what I've been given. Thank you.
Okay, I don't think we have any more hands at the moment.
All right. Well, then it sounds to me like it is time for Christy and Shana to moderate and enlighten us with CCB history. Christy?
Actually, I think we're supposed to have Andrea and Sarah talk a bit about the convention and what to expect, and then we're on.
Okay.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yep. So, Sarah.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Christy. So, here we are. We're on our kickoff, and it's been great. I think we've learned a lot about each other. We have our California Diabetics in Action. We'll be having their meeting tomorrow at 3, so please join in on that. And then we're going to take a little break for a few days because, of course, we have the leadership conference going on with ACB. And on Wednesday, you'll get to come join us to hear from our very own Debbie Armstrong, and she's going to teach us about some Zoom stuff. And you got resolutions, and you got so much more. We have some really fun things that are different this year, a lot of creativity, and a lot of fun and just really trying to bring us all back together, because it's very, very important. The registration is out. If you run into any issues, please email, Andrea and I at convention.ccb@gmail.com. And we will be coming out with our full main event schedule here pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. We're just ironing out a last few couple of things, and I'm open for questions if anybody has any.
Sarah, do you want me to just talk a little bit about a couple of really special events that we're going to have?
Yeah, if you'd like,
okay.
Go for it.
Okay, I want to share with you guys, she's not here this evening, but Susan Glass, who is a member of the Publications Committee, is going to do, well, she and I are doing two different things. She's doing a thing on birding by ear on the 16th of March at 11 in the morning. If you don't know what this is about, come, you're going to be in for a treat, because Susan loves to listen to birds and knows a lot about this and is wanting to share her time and talents with us. And on the 21st of March, Wednesday at 7, is that a Wednesday? No, Thursday, excuse me, at 7:30, Susan and I are going to host a writer's workshop on books that changed your life. So come and be prepared to share about the books that have affected your life. I won't tell you what book it is for me, but I mean, there's several, but I picked one out specifically. The other event I want to highlight, and this lady is not here this evening either, but Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker is going to present on Sunday, March 17th at, I believe it's 1 p.m. Sarah, is that right? I'm not looking at the schedule. The Power of the Word. Kathy is a certified life coach. She is also retired from working at Cal Poly Pomona, and a very articulate, intelligent woman, and going to talk to us about how to be our best selves. So those are just three events that I want to highlight that really are exciting to me. We will have our candidates forum on Monday, March 25th. So any people who have submitted statements of intent to run for the board will be, we will be there, and we will be answering your questions. I'm one of those people, so I'm running for my second term. So we will be there to answer your questions on that evening. So please stay tuned and attend, because we have some marvelous stuff going on. Thank you.
And tell your friends. Share, share, share. Any questions for us? Well, it sounds like it's time for a history lesson. Christy and Shayna, you're on.
Okay, so the first.
Shayna, can I make a shameless plug?
Go ahead.
On Saturday, the California Diabetics in Action is going to have a program where we have someone speaking about food and healing and what's so great about different kinds of foods and the nutrients. You know, food makes such a difference in our lives, and so we're going to be having someone speak,
and then we'll have our business meeting. So we really hope people will come at 3, from 3 to 4:30 for our California Diabetics in Action meeting on Saturday. Thank you. And so go ahead, Sheena.
Well, I was thinking we should start from the very last question instead of the first.
Oh.
Stir things up a little bit.
Okay, we can go that way.
Okay. So the first question, or the last question, is
let's give the kind of the rules though, right? The guidelines?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So this is a CCV trivia, and some of these questions we had before, but some of these questions are new. And CCB has been around for 90 years. Please read, if you haven't, People of Vision, The History of the American Council of the Blind by James A. McGivern and Marjorie L. McGivern. You can get it from the ACB. You can get it as a document file. You can get it through Bookshare. And you can get a really scratchy version of it from NLS Bard. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask questions. I think it's so late that we'll give you guys a chance. We'll give two people a chance. And if the second person doesn't get the answer, then we'll move on and we'll give you the answer. Okay? And Shana, you'll start with the first question.
Or the last question. Okay.
Last question.
What was California Council of the Blind called before 1956?
My phone is far away. Has anybody got a raised hand, or can I go, Andrea?
Go ahead, Sarah. I don't see any hands.
It was the California Council for the blind and not of the blind.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
All right.
My goodness, I had no idea. Wow. That's kind of scary.
Okay. When Robert Acosta stepped down as the president of the California Council of the Blind, how many chapters did we have? And that was including chapters and what we call affiliates now. Right. How many chapters did we have when Bob Acosta stepped down as president?
He's here, so he probably knows.
He knows.
What year was it?
Well, that's not the question. The question is, how many chapters did we have? I hear a kitty. Anybody know how many chapters we had? We had a lot. Come on, guys. Okay, I heard a hand.
Livy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think it was 40, but I'm not positive.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what we supposedly have now.
I think that's a stumper, Christy.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Pedro's iPhone has left the meeting.
Somebody give a note.
Okay, Reese, go ahead.
268.
Don't you wish.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
We would cover the entire state.
Okay.
Oops.
John, go ahead. John, give it a shot.
12.
12? Oh, no, we went down. We didn't go up. We had 54. 54 back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
Right.
Yeah, well.
Aspirations, right, guys? Aspirations.
When you guys.
Yes, life happened.
When you guys get a chance, read Bowling Alone. I can't remember who the author is, but it's a book that Mitch espouses, and it's about how people don't want to join things.
What's it called?
Bowling Alone.
Oh, okay.
And it's on Bard.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
is
I think she fell off.
She fell off. Okay, I'm going to ask the next question. In what year was the CCB convention held at a casino?
It was a year I didn't go.
Well, oh, I got this one. I think it was, if I remember correctly, 2016.
You're right. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Good deal, Pam.
I knew that too, Pam.
Yeah, that's because I got that crazy dog Gatsby and it was 2016. Oh.
I gotta tell you guys something really funny. The lady that drove for me when I was working, drove a whole car full of people down to San Diego to that casino. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there because I couldn't go. But they ended up going right past the exit and they almost got to the Tijuana border before she realized that they had gone. They almost ended up in Mexico.
Okay. Is Shayna back with us?
I don't see her.
Okay. In what year did CCB hold its Dining in the Dark event?
Was it 2013?
Nope.
Okay, I know. John, raise hand. John, go ahead.
John, raise my hand.
I'm going to say 2018.
You're right. Ding, ding, ding.
Good. Mm-hmm. I thought it was longer ago than that.
Mm-mm. It was 2018. Nope. It was the year Ken died. Yeah. I wasn't going to answer that one. I knew that one.
Who is CCB's oldest past president? Yeah, good night, Cache.
Christy, could you repeat that question? I'm sorry.
Who is CCB's oldest past president?
Oh, boy, that could be a loaded question. Okay, wait a minute.
You got a few.
Are we supposed to raise our hands or just say our name?
Raise hand.
Okay.
Regina.
Don't shoot me. Is it Bob Acosta? Bob, yep. Is it you?
That's what I thought. Yeah, what I thought. Yes. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
Okay. I didn't raise a hand. Uh-oh.
I lowered all the hands. I'm sorry. I just wanted to... Oh. Work confusion.
What mode of transportation did Al Gill humorously depict in multiple CCB banquet entertainment presentations?
David.
We don't hear you.
David.
Sorry, my mute button was ran away from me. Al Gill used to make wonderful sounds of Greyhound buses.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. As well as flushing toilets, trains, and many other things.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Okay, this should be an easy question. Who was CCB's first female president?
Oh, please.
Meeting in lift for signed view, but mute.
Judy Wilkinson.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
What?
Judy Wilkinson.
No.
No?
No, it's not
She's
right.
She's never been CCB president.
Oh, I'm Judy? Wait. Judy's been CCB president.
Oh, yeah, she was, but she wasn't the first one.
Oh, Catherine Skivers.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. That was nice, stupid.
And you got me confused.
Audio.
Christy, sorry about that. My phone died. I had a joint for my computer.
Okay, you are at question number 14 we're on.
Okay, just a second.
Yep. I kept it going.
Great question, you guys. Wonderful. What happened to Dorini, though? Wasn't Dorini involved in it this year?
Dorini is with us in spirit, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I found the question. Name a hotel that has hosted several CCB conventions.
John Ross raised hand.
John?
John Ross raised hand. Two participants raised hand.
I would say the Hilton Arden West.
The Hilton Arden West is one, and we have another one.
The Four Points LAX by Sheraton.
Well, you're right about LA, but it was one that you mentioned earlier.
The Crown Plaza?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, also the Four Points Sheraton, there were several that had.
Yeah, but we didn't have as many there as we did at the Crown Plaza.
FYI, the Crown Plaza is, that hotel is still there, but it is now called the Sonesta LAX.
Oh.
Sonesta. So anyway, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Audio.
You want to ask the next one?
Sure.
Okay.
Name a CCB president who was a professional musician.
I don't hear any pops of hand raises.
Well, I'm away from my phone, but if there's no hands raised, can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think it's the same president we mentioned earlier, Kathy Skivers.
Well, I don't know if she was actually professional, but she was pretty doggone good on the piano.
I didn't know that.
But there's
she used to take BART back and forth to San Francisco.
Yeah.
David has his hand up.
I believe it was John Lopez.
And you believe correctly.
Yes.
That is right. That is right. But I do think that Kathy got
the camera. You could be on this committee, too, because you know a lot of this stuff.
Yep. Okay. You want to ask the next one, since I asked so many?
Sorry about that. Okay. Name a city other than Sacramento that has hosted the CCB office.
Oh, Hayward.
That's one.
Two participants raise hand.
Hang on.
Two more cities.
Audio now unmuted.
John.
Los Angeles.
Yep. Well.
Carmichael?
In the Los Angeles area.
Pasadena.
No, you're too far south. Starts with a B.
When I go to CCB, it seems like we have two offices.
Did
we not have two offices at one time?
John Lopez was kind of like handling stuff in the south, in LA or East LA, and Kathy was in Hayward.
Right.
And then we had another one when Bob Acosta was president.
Mm-hmm.
So think about where he lives.
Yeah. He lives in Chatsworth.
And it starts with an N is where the office was.
Northridge.
Yes. You got it.
Yeah.
In what year was the CCB office severely damaged because of the earthquake in 1994?
1994.
What did I just say?
1994.
She means what city?
Northridge.
Northridge.
It was the Northridge quake. Yes.
Did I say something
wrong? You Northridge. Gave the year, but it was Northridge. Yeah.
Yeah. Shauna? Shana?
Audio now. Mute.
Just a sec.
You all, we have about 3 minutes left.
We'll see how far we can get.
We all know that the NFB has a song. Does CCB have a song?
Audio now unmuted.
I don't think so.
I've never heard it. but the song is called Reunification. I've never heard
of
it.
I haven't either. Where do we find the lyrics?
I don't know.
It's called
I have it. I got it from David.
The Reunification song was written by Al Jenkins' wife, who was a doctor, but she was also a musician, and it was arranged by John DeFrancesco, and they sang it. He had a choir, and they went to Fantasy Records in Berkeley and recorded it, and I sent a very bad copy that I had, but I sent it to our convention a few years ago as a surprise.
And it's Reunification?
And, yeah. And it was, and that was when we unified with ACB.
Ah.
Okay. Gotcha. I'd like to just see the words. Are the words written down somewhere?
I can send it out, everybody. I still have that.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, you do? Okay, I do too.
Yeah, I was like, nobody heard me. I was like,
I heard you, Sarah. My thought.
Okay, I'm going to the next one.
Okay.
Ask to unmute.
What the heck?
name the more important piece of legislation that CCB collaborated with NFB on that created the Department of Rehabilitation Specialized Services and established the Blind Advisory Committee.
I'm not allowed to answer this one.
Chrissy, repeat it because I think I know, but repeat it, please.
Okay, David has his hand up, but if Pam hasn't really answered many questions, so
can you just repeat
the
question?
Important piece of legislation that that CCB and NFB collaborated on that created the Department of Rehabilitation Specialized Services and the BAC.
I think it was SB 105.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yay, Pam.
Well, I did know Kim. I did meet Kim when they were working on that one. So, yeah.
Audio now.
Yeah.
What was CCB's annual fundraiser?
Audio now unmuted.
The Mud Strut.
And I think we should go back to it. Yay.
Stephanie Jones has left
them. We didn't make much money, though, did we? I mean, it seemed like we didn't really. I don't want to get into it now, but it just seemed like a lot of work for not.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I think the auctions make a lot more money, though.
The Mud Strut?
Yeah.
It was called the Mud Strut. Yeah.
It was a handler and dog event.
Not necessarily.
But
it was
partly.
A walk. It was a 5K, 2K walk run. You could walk with your dog or not. That's what it was.
Runners?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was,
You didn't necessarily have to have a dog to participate. Mm-mm.
Who shares their birthday with CCB?
Oh, God, I'm not answering this one. We all should know this. He should be actually here and answering this one himself.
He should be.
I was going to say. Come on, somebody, just say it.
I heard a hand raise.
Regina.
It's Gabe.
Yep.
He should have been here to answer that one himself.
Yep.
Who's the driving force in the organization of CCB?
In the very beginning.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, Reese, please?
Audio.
Who was the driving force in the organization of CCB in the beginning?
Kathy Skybert?
No, earlier.
In the beginning, 1934.
Oh, my God. I know his name, but I can't think of it. Oh,
okay.
Come on, guys.
I know who it is, but I can't think of his name. Oh, my God.
Okay, Linda. Wait, Linda.
I think it was Newell Perry.
And you think correctly.
Yay!
I got one.
But let me set something straight because Bob wrote me a little message, and he said
that I had it right, but I had it wrong. And I knew that I had it kind of wrong. So it was actually a social worker who was cited, who brought everybody together and then handed over the meeting to Newell. So, I mean, he was still the driving force,
Right, but Newell basically took it.
Exactly. No, and that's what I'm saying. I just wanted to let everybody know that Bob told me that I was right, but I missed part of the lesson. So I just had to throw it out there.
Everybody read People of Vision.
Or everybody read Perry Sundquist. You know, there's the CCB history. And if you need it, I have it. Just ask. We should put it up on the website. I don't know if we get in trouble though. So guys, we're past time here.
We are.
Okay. Who's going to give some last words?
I'll do it. And Reese can do it. It doesn't, Joe, you still here? Joe still here?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Shayna.
Shayna, I think.
Audio now unmuted.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, to give the last words, yeah.
Okay, we want to thank everyone who joined us and participated in this. This is our 90th anniversary, and we wanted to, you know, share history and inspiration with people. And, you know, the whole idea that brings us together as an organization, and we wanted to celebrate that tonight in our kickoff. So thank you for joining us.
You guys did an awesome job, and this is Andrea, and I just want to encourage everybody to please attend one or two events at least, if not more. But pick some things that you would enjoy. We have lots of game nights this year. We have like four different fun events, but we have some really unusual things, and a lot of people have done a lot of work on these events. And it's hard when you plan a meeting or you plan an event and like three people show up.
And when is the improv night?
That is the, what is it, the 15th? Is it
It's the 15th, I believe. 15th.
Okay. Improv in the dark, folks.
Okay.
So, light-hearted improv in the dark.
That's right.
So you guys,
all right,
register for the convention. Register for the convention.
Of course. I want to say hi to my brother over there, Mark Hanahano. He's my brother that I worked with at the Marriott.
And our new chapter member from to Acting Like the Valleys. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Hey, wonderful.
He's very awesome, by the way. He's one of the ones who helped me work on considering getting a guide dog. So
cool.
Stay out to you and your membership chair. I want to say thank all of you, the committee. Without you, I can't do a darn thing.
And remember CDA tomorrow, and on Wednesday night, we have for those of you who were not in Deborah's class the last time, she did a Zoom class a couple of years ago. This one is a little more advanced, but Deborah's awesome, and she came to us and offered to do this. So please, people come and learn more about Zoom.
All right.
All right. You guys take care. Thanks, everybody. Wonderful night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
See you tomorrow. Good night, everyone. Good night.